Father, I want to hear you on the inside this morning. Thank you. Faith comes by hearing your word. And I pray, Lord, that every one of us will receive faith from this word this morning. Build us up in faith. Let us not just hear words, listen to words, but Lord, we pray that faith will come through these words. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Okay, well, we are going to do a Bible study together this morning. We all need a daily dose of the Word of God, don't we? Yes, we do. Whether you know it or not, yes, we do. Because the Word is our food. It's our bread. And it's also our medicine. And I just wanted to share a very brief testimony with you. When I had this operation and had my ovaries removed, it's about 12 weeks ago now, they said to me the kind of physical response of that is you kind of naturally just plunged into menopause, and they wanted to put me on HRT treatment. And, you know, I had a list of all the symptoms that you naturally go through, the kind of hot flushes and sleeplessness, irritability, depression, massive long list, isn't there? This is the kind of short-term list. I'm looking at all the kind of possibly menopausal women. Sorry about that. You know, naturally speaking, there are short-term issues and long-term issues, and you look at the list and you think, oh my, it's like literally anything could happen and your leg could fall off, and that's down to the menopause, you know? And I just went to the Lord, because I really didn't want this, and I said to the Lord, really? You know, do I need this? And he said, you don't need an HRT implant. You need the word implanting. Amen. And he actually said to me, I'm going to give you a first aid kit. If you think of a first aid kit, in it, you've got everything you need for an emergency. He said, I'm going to give you a first aid kit of my word. And I'm going to give you the things that you need to put in that kit. And every time you sense a symptom, go to your first aid kit. Think about what first aid means. It's your first point of aid. You know, our first point of aid shouldn't be the doctors or the medicine, but actually the Word of God. First aid kit. He's the aid. Scripture says, Hebrews 16, I think it's verse 2. He's the aid to the seed of Abraham. We are the seed of Abraham. So he is our first point of aid. So he said, I'm going to give you this first aid kit. And he gave me various scriptures to pop in my first aid kit. And I have to say, they've been an absolute lifeline. Because when I have a symptom, it's like, okay, I'm just going to go to the kit, get out my word, and just confess it. Just speak it over myself, speak it out. And I am seeing change. Really, the word is doing me good. But it's that daily. You know, just as diligent as we are to take medicine, if you've been put on medicine by the doctor 3 times a day with food or whatever, you are diligent to take it. We've got to be diligent in taking the word of God, and then it does us good, doesn't it? So anyway, it's our food, it's our medicine. It brings light into our darkness, doesn't it? Often we don't even know what the cause of the problem is, let alone how to sort it out. Or we don't even know what the problem is. But the word brings light into our darkness. It shows us what the real problem is, and it shows us what the solution is. It's amazing. This book is amazing. And it saves us from ourselves, essentially. You know, from our own crooked thinking, our own crooked attitudes, our own excuses, because we all make them, and we convince ourselves that wrong is right, don't we? Until the word comes and we see, actually, I'm trusting in the wrong things here. I'm building on sand here, or I'm actually going the wrong way. Until the word comes, we don't know. But when the word comes, it's a lamp to our feet, Scripture says, and a light to our path. It shows us where we are and where we need to go. And the word has this amazing ability, doesn't it, just to cut through all the rubbish, get to the heart of the issue, expose our own hearts to us, really, and show us God's saving way, his right way and his saving way. And this first scripture I want to bring to you this morning is from Hebrews 4. And it tells us exactly what the Word of God is. The Word of God is living. It's not like any other book. It's living and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God has this amazing ability to separate soul and spirit. Naturally, we kind of live with quite a mix, but when the Word of God comes, it makes it very clear. It separates the grey to black and white. We see this is God and this is not God. And don't we need that every day? We need our soul and spirit. I know I need it. I need my soul and spirit dividing every day, because without it, we get confused. And actually, that's quite a nice way of saying we get deceived. You know, we think wrong is right and right is wrong, like the world does. We wander off course, exalting our own thoughts, declaring or thinking to ourselves, well, this is the will of God, and actually it isn't. We've just kind of thought that soul is spirit. Pastor Judith said 2 weeks ago, do you remember she brought a message on sheep and goats? And she said there are two types of people in the world. There are sheep and there are goats. And if you're born again, God has put his spirit in you. You're a new creature. You were a goat and you're now a sheep. You're not just a better animal. You're a different animal altogether. Okay, praise God. Now, sheep, as you know, are not the cleverest of animals, are they? They wander. They get lost. They fall into ditches. When I lived in the countryside, when we first moved actually to the southwest, we lived in Wiveliscombe. We had a field of sheep in it, and the Lord spoke a lot to us through these sheep. And I remember once seeing a sheep on top of a hedge. I don't know. I mean, they got short legs, haven't they? I don't even know how this sheep managed to do that. It's like some sort of acrobatics. And it kind of propelled itself on top of this hedge. And we were walking down the lane and we just, you know, when you're like, you triple take, am I really seeing what I'm seeing? And we saw the farmer come along on his quad with his trailer to rescue this sheep. And I thought to myself, in a sense, Jesus is like that. You know, he doesn't come along on his quad with a trailer on the back to rescue us, but he does rescue us. And we need rescuing every day. You know, and the way he rescues us actually is with his voice. So this morning, you'll be thrilled to hear, I'm going to speak about hearing God's voice. Just say to the person next to you, praise God, I really need to hear this. We really need to hear this, because one wrong decision can have big repercussions, can't it? One wrong decision can have, you know, it's like the pebble in the pond. It can have the long-term ripple effect over years. And the Lord wants to save us from wrong decisions. You know, there's no better place, there's no safer place than right in the middle of the will of God. And I really want that for my life. I'm confident you do as well, otherwise you wouldn't be here. But for that to happen, we need to listen to the shepherd's voice. And John chapter 10, verse 27 says this, "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me." Two key words there. Listen and follow. Two things we need to do daily to be in the will of God, and that's listen and follow. Listen to the shepherd's voice and follow. It's actually not difficult. It's not complicated. Untrained, uneducated fishermen could do it. Children can do it. I've actually got pictures here. I wasn't sure whether to show you, but years and years ago now, this little boy called Davide, he's Italian, he drew these pictures for Pastor Judith. They're very dog-eared pictures for Pastor Judith and myself. They're very good. Pastor Judith says to Judith, God's light is alive in you, from Davide. And this is me, obviously. And the light is with you and protects you. But what the mum did is she sat him down. She said, Davide, pray. Pray for Judith and Andrea and draw a picture for them and write down what you believe God's saying. This is what he did. He's probably about 4 years old at the time. And I just thought, how brilliant is that? He was saved at the age of three. So he can hear God, children can hear God. And, you know, it's a really good idea if your kids know, oh, Mum, I don't know what to do next. Well, pray for so-and-so, pray for Granny, pray for Dad, pray for, you know, and draw them a picture. They hear God. We hear God. And we need to just really encourage that. We need to encourage that in one another, and we need to encourage it in children. You just need to listen and follow. Draw a picture, write it in your journal. You know, it's not difficult. We can hear God. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So we just need to take time. Everybody say, take time. Take time. Take time to listen to the shepherd's voice. Because we all hear a lot of voices, don't we? You hear your own voice. You hear other people's voices. And also there's the voice of the enemy. There's a lot of voices that are competing for our attention every day of our lives. But if we listen, God will speak to us as well. Isn't that amazing? I think we take that for granted a lot of the time. Oh yeah, I hear God. And, you know, we hear God. How awesome is that, you know? But we need to learn how to recognize his voice, because as I said, there's a lot of voices. We need to learn how to recognize the enemy's voice. He's an angel of light. He appears like the Lord. He'll often quote scripture, has done through the ages. He often works with suggestion. Did God really say? You know, do you really have to do that? Do you really need to go there? Suggestion. He doesn't speak in a gravelly voice. It's not like Darth Vader. There's nothing obvious, like this is the devil now. It's deceptive, because that's his nature. He's a deceiver of the brethren. So we need to learn to recognize his voice. Just remember the word suggestion. The enemy will always, most often, work through suggestion. But the Lord, his voice, we need to be able to pick it out. Practice, actually. We need to practice listening to him. How do you recognize and get familiar with any voice? You practice listening. Don't you? And over time, you'll recognize the tone, you'll recognize the kind of things they say and how they say it. And so we really need to get familiar with the voice of God. And the main way we familiarize ourselves with God's voice, you know it, we read the book, we read the written word. Okay, the primary way God speaks to us is through the word. Praise God. He uses scriptures. And you know, he never contradicts himself. He never contradicts his word. For example, you're never going to hear the Lord suggest to you that you just stop tithing for a few months, just until things, you know, get a bit more balanced and stabilized with your finances. He'll never say that. He'll never tempt you or suggest to you to do something that isn't in the word. Your flesh will. And the enemy will, through fear and reasoning. But God will speak words to you that will confirm scripture, okay? Sheep listen and sheep follow. So whenever God speaks, even if it isn't an actual scripture, it will agree with scripture. Do you know what I mean? Like, it will be in harmony with it. It won't clash or jar with it. Certainly won't contradict it. It will either be a verse from here, or it will be in agreement with what's written in here. Okay, second way the Lord speaks to us then is through prayer. Prayer's a two-way conversation. This might be news for some of you. Prayer is meant to be a dialogue, not a monologue. Two-way, not one-way. So, for example, when you start to pray, you're not meant to go on and on and on with the same things you say. You know, kind of your wish list for the last 5 years, the same old, in Jesus' name, amen, same time tomorrow then, Lord. You know, it's not meant to be like that. I'm not saying we shouldn't persevere with the promises, but I am saying we shouldn't kind of put our foot through the door and just present him with a list. Should we? Okay, as we heard earlier, we enter his gates. Actually, we didn't get onto that bit, but in Psalm 103, we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We shouldn't enter with a to-do list. Think of the Queen. Think of etiquette with the Queen. You wouldn't, you know, walk in to see the Queen and say, well, look, you know, you're the Queen. This is what needs doing. That's just not good etiquette. And that's the Queen, earthly ruler. This is the King of heaven and earth. There's a right etiquette, a right way of approaching him. And it's with praise. Your Lord, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Stop and think about Jesus. You know, very often when we go to pray, our minds are full of ourselves and our own issues and our own circumstances. That's why Scripture says, get your mind off earthly things onto Him. I very often go to Psalms when I start to pray. I'll read through a psalm or I'll put some praise and worship on. I just fill my thoughts with Him. And then out of that, it's quite easy to start to praise and give thanks because you're thinking about Him, who He is, where He is, how great He is. And then when you run out of English, and that can happen quite quickly some days, can't it? Let's be honest. You can pray in tongues. Isn't that amazing? I'm so grateful for the gift of tongues, you know. I'm so grateful for this amazing gift that God's given us. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, we don't know what we ought to pray for. That's a relief for me that that's in there, isn't it? You know, because sometimes we really just don't know what to pray for. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints, that's us, in accordance with the will of God. I think this is such an amazing scripture. If you really stop and think about that, when you pray in tongues, when you allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you, He's going to pray the will of God. God Himself can pray through us. I mean, I find that phenomenal, you know. The Spirit Himself intercedes for us. I'm so blessed if I hear that a person, a human person of faith, has prayed for me. You know, if I hear such and so has been praying for you, I just think, well, praise God. This is God praying for you. Why wouldn't we pray in tongues every day? Allow God Himself to pray for us, to pray for our circumstances, to pray for people that He puts on our hearts. It's guaranteed success, surely. If God Himself is praying the will of God, how can that fail? It can't, can it? So we pray in tongues. And then, you know, you can actually interpret your own tongues, because I find when I pray in tongues for a bit, then I pray with the understanding, I pray in English, very often I think, I bet that's an interpretation right there. It amazes me sometimes what come out of my mouth, and I think, did I really say that? Really? Or, yeah, you said it, but it wasn't your thought. It was God's thought, bringing light. You know, you pray for something, and it's just like somehow then you pray that, it's like, there's the answer right there. There's the scripture to pray and believe for. So we can hear God through our own mouths. Amazing. You speak to Him and He speaks to you. What a privilege. Wisdom, reassurance, faith that lifts you. You know, lets you know everything's going to be okay. Some days it's just like, really? You know, you feel like you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders, don't you? But if you will go to Him and pray, it just gets lifted. I never cease to be amazed how problems shrink in God's presence. What you go in, it feels like an absolute mountain that can never be shifted. And then you start to pray, you get in the presence of the Lord, and somehow things just start to diminish. The Word and God's presence even just shrinks problems. Naturally, when we approach it, it's like we've got to shift that mountain ourselves through a whole lot of effort. But you go to be with Jesus, He just shrinks it in your eyes. And that's really important, that in your eyes, that mountain becomes a molehill, that actually you don't need to move yourself. You can just step over it. Diminished. Because when you realize He is over all, He's the greater one, He's over this, and He's in me, of course I can overcome this. You know, this more than a conqueror mindset, we need to develop it. And the only way I know how to have that more than a conqueror mindset is through reading the Word and time with Him. Honestly, without it, you can maybe have a I'm a survivor mindset, you know, and that's on a good day, right? This more than a conqueror mindset, it just happens as you spend time with Him. It's like His mindset rubs off on you. He never has any issue with, do you think, you know, the Lord never thinks to Himself, oh, I wonder if I can manage this, you know, or this is a big one. It's just He lives, exists with this more than a conqueror. Of course, I'm God. And when we spend time with him, we have this, of course, he's in me. Okay? I've written down here, it really struck me a while ago, I wrote it in my journal, when Jesus, it was the passage on the Transfiguration, but it says when Jesus was with the Father, his face changed. And I love that. When Jesus spent time with the Father, his human face changed. And actually, when we spend time with the Lord, really, our face changes. You go in with all your problems and your insecurities and your anxieties, but he delivers us from all our fears and all our troubles. I've been living in Psalm 34 for a while, and I love that psalm. Those who look to him are radiant, and he delivers. This poor man cried out to the Lord. He saved him from all his fears, number one, and delivered him from all his troubles. The point is, he went to the Lord. And I think very often, fear can be as bad as the trouble itself. Do you know what I mean? The fear of it can almost be as bad, if not worse, than the actual issue. But he saves us from both. He saves us from the fear of things. He saves us from the actual trouble of it. And you realize, you kind of walk away thinking, well, God's on his throne. He's over this. You know, everything's going to be okay. However, we need to give him time to speak to us, to show us everything's going to be okay. To minister to us, to kind of, you know, it says he redeems the souls of his servant. It doesn't just happen. You know, if you're so busy, you don't give him time. You'll live with a very pushed down, trodden on soul. It's only when we get with him, he restores our soul. He shows us from his word, it's okay, I'm bigger than this. I'm able. Here's your promise. Weight off, soul restored, and you approach things differently. Okay, so we hear him through prayer. Third thing, I need to speed along probably, is through authority. We hear God through authorities. Now, I'm going to read a scripture to you that is a bit of an eye-opener. In fact, we've got it up on the screen here. Romans 13, verse 1. It says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Now, our natural mind can have problems with that one when we think about some of the authorities that there are in the world. But you know what? God raises kings and he puts them down again. And we need to see in our own lives, the authorities in our own lives, they're actually put there by God. So family, parents, government, your boss at work, and also spiritual authority, church, put there by God. And so we need to honor them. No matter who they are or how they are, God says they're the authority I've put in place. You need to honor them, listen to them, and submit to them. And actually, with spiritual authority, well, actually with all of them, God can work. God can work. Look, he worked through Pharaoh, didn't he? He was an ungodly king and ruler, but he worked through him, through Cyrus, he worked through him. God is God. He can work through godly authority and ungodly authority. So we need to pray for our leaders. Timothy tells us, doesn't it? If you want to live a quiet and peaceful life, pray for those in authority over you. But also believe God can speak through them and God can operate through them. And that is one way you can hear God is through the authorities that are placed in your life. Don't criticize them, pray for them. Okay, next one, I think it's number four. Yes. Godly counsel. God speaks to us through godly counsel, not just spiritual leaders, but our spiritual friends, you know, our godly friends. Where do you get your counsel from? You know, when you're in a quandary and you're not sure, do I do this? Do I do that? What on earth am I going to do with this situation? Who do you go to for your counsel? Who do you go to for advice? Media, magazines, TV, Google. I mean, let's face it, a lot of us go to Google a lot of the time, but Google, my gosh, it's a minefield out there of advice. And some of it's good, but not all of it, and it can be very confusing. Non-Christian work colleagues, it's the blind leading the blind right there, isn't it? You know, we need godly counsel, and we get that from godly friends. And the spiritual leaders as well, but also from godly friends. Proverbs 11:14 says this.
Where there's no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Aren't we foolish if we think we know it all? Come on. If you think you know it all, you're on thin ice right there. Because pride comes before a fall. And actually, at the start of that chapter 11 in Proverbs, it says, when pride comes, then comes shame. So you fall and you're also really embarrassed as well, you know. So we don't want to fall, and neither do we want to be ashamed or embarrassed, do we? So we need to be willing to listen to godly counsel, advice from other people. Scripture warns us, don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't think you know it all. We need counsel, wisdom, insight from other people. Who knows? People are able to look at a situation from a different vantage point. And godly people, hearing God themselves, they can bring light into our darkness, absolutely, can't they? You know, and we need to be humble enough to listen and to receive. You know, the James says, the wisdom from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. It's not pushy. If we're godly wise, we're not pushy, we're not arrogant, we're not, I know it all because God's told me. We're willing to listen, willing to yield, and actually hear the wisdom of God through other godly people. And I really want to emphasize the godly part. Not any old rubbish, not even Christian friends who aren't really walking with God, you know, they sound off. And actually all it is the spirit of this world, the pattern of this world. And it's earthly wisdom, which James says is based on the senses. It doesn't honor God. It doesn't even recognize God. It kind of denies the existence and power of God. We don't need that kind of advice. We need godly advice, really, that will bring the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God always brings us back to dependence on him. And if we're dependent on him, right there, we're kind of making ourselves available for the power of God. It's like very attractive to the power of God. You're dependent on him. It's like a runway for the power of God to land. Okay, next one. Is this helpful?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Another way we hear God is through spiritual gifts. Now, I've listed them down here because I bet you can't remember them all. There are 9 in total. And he's given us spiritual gifts, not just natural gifts, because we need them. And these spiritual gifts are the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Now, you might operate in those gifts or even receive from those gifts without even realizing. Let me give you an example of that. Somebody might say to you, I was praying for you the other day, and this thought came to me. Word of wisdom. Or, I was praying for you the other day, and I just had this thought, if I lay my hand on your back, you're going to get healed. Gift of faith. You know, it's not like these gifts need a big fanfare, and I'm now going to operate with a word of knowledge, or I'm now going to prophesy over you. You don't need to make a song and a dance of it. We just kind of, if you're walking with God, reading the word, flowing in the spirit, these gifts will just flow through you, kind of naturally, supernaturally. However, there's a warning. Scripture warns us in 1 Thessalonians 5. It says we need to test all things and hold fast to the good. So if somebody gives you a word from God, you know, they may say, I believe God has said, or, you know, in some way they present it to you as a prophetic word, let's say, you need to say to yourself, ask yourself the question, is it in there? Does it agree with what's in there? Does it sound like it came from the same author? Really? You know, what's the witness in your spirit? There's the other thing, because we get a witness, don't we? The Holy Spirit's on the inside, and he witnesses with things. I've written down here, it's like a handshake. Is God in you happy? You know, is there like this internal handshake going on? Yes, that's me. You know, green light, go with that. Or is there a, this is grating a little bit. I kind of feel uncomfortable with this one. In that case, throw it out. If it doesn't sound like God, if it isn't in there and it makes you feel really uneasy, I would say there's a high possibility that it probably isn't from God, you know, and so you just need to throw it out. Somebody gave me a word. I wanted to use this example, but about a year or 2 years after I started working with Pastor Judith, we were in traveling ministry, and somebody gave me this word that I would be married within a year. And it was an absolute shock to me. I hadn't been thinking about that, hadn't been praying about that, wasn't even sure if I ever would get married. But it threw me, you know. It really kind of threw me. And I started to think, who and where and when and really? You know, these jokers, really? This is, really? But my mind got off Jesus and his kingdom. And that's a sure sign it's not from God, isn't it? And discerning Pastor Judith came to me and she said, what's going on? And I just said, do you remember that bloke last weekend? Well, he said this. And she said, right. Well, she said, had God spoken to you about it before? And I said, no. And she said, well, how did it make you feel? What's the witness? I said, oh, I feel anxious, really uneasy. And she said, well, do you think it's God then? I said, no. Then throw it out. Throw it out. Trust the Lord of my future. You go on happy. But these things, they can really knock you off course. You know, they can railroad you. So we need to test everything and hold fast to the good. Is it in here? Does it sound like he spoke it? If it's a complete bolt out of the blue, like that one was for me, you know, really cut across my direction and what God had already said to me, it's probably not God. I'll put it to you like that. God speaks to us through dreams. Anybody here ever had a dream from God? I'm sure a lot of you have. Probably some of you have and you don't even know it. I think sometimes God speaks to us in dreams when he can't get us when we're awake. But all the way through scripture, you read about people who had dreams from God. Remember Joseph and the wheat sheaves? He saw them all bowing down. It was God telling him what was going to happen to him. Joseph and his wheat sheaves, Jacob and the ladder, angels descending and ascending. This is none other than the place of God. The other Joseph, Mary's husband, he was going to divorce her, wasn't he? And the Lord said to him, this is of me. This is a supernatural baby. Stick with it. You need to look after them. You know, this is my plan. And sometimes the Lord needs to speak to us in a dramatic way, kind of to get our attention. I think dreams are amazing. I think, it's amazing that God will speak to us through a dream. Dreams reveal the plan of God, but they also reveal the heart of God. Through a dream from God, you don't just get understanding of information. He can kind of communicate his heart for that person or that situation. And it gives us understanding, but also confidence to go forward, doesn't it, when you have a dream. If you've never had a dream from the Lord, ask him to speak to you through dreams. You know, in the last days it says, my spirit will be poured out. And one of the ways the spirit is poured out is that he gives dreams. Remember, test all things, though, with that. But the last thing I want to mention in this section is the preaching of the word. You might think you hear God on your own at home in prayer and with the Bible, and you do. Praise God, you do. However, without church, there's no accountability. And without church, actually, there's no safety. I was thinking about the wildebeest. You know how you can watch these nature programs and you see the migration of the wildebeest and you see the stragglers. You know, the ones that are kind of just off a little bit on their own. Who does the lion go for? Not those in the middle of the pack. It goes for the stragglers. They're the vulnerable ones, the ones at a bit of a distance on the edge. And the enemy, the Lord says, is like a prowling lion seeking whom he may devour. We need to be in church with the pack, with the herd, moving forward in one direction. Don't give up meeting together, as is the manner of some, scripture says. You need church. Just say to the person next to you, you need church. We actually need to sit under the preaching of the word. Put ourselves in a place and a position to hear God. So when the word's preached, we need to sit down, phone off or on silent, attention on, because this is the word of God. We need to treat it with respect. God's got a word for me today, you know. We need to come with this attitude. When I was a student in Horsham and on the team, it felt like a long time and a lot of words. And you know, my flesh kind of got a bit fed up with it. But the Lord really spoke to me about it, and he said, you need to go with the attitude, I've got a word for you today. Go with the attitudes, God's going to speak to me today. And it changed me from kind of getting a bit resentful, actually, to I'm going to hear God. It puts you in a attention switched on mode. Romolo, our friend in Italy, he once said this before he invited Pastor Judith to the platform. He was talking about honouring the word. And he said, if I was standing here this morning handing out diamonds, you'd all be interested, wouldn't you? You all be quite eager to receive, wouldn't you? What is about to be handed out to you is more precious, more valuable than diamonds. It's able to save your soul. It's able to change your life. You need to be that interested and that eager to receive. And I thought that's brilliant. It's really stayed with me. Final thing, the way the Lord speaks to us, and we have to be a little bit careful with this one, but number six, he speaks to us through situations and circumstances. Of course, the enemy can speak to us through those as well. But if we're recognizing, getting familiar with his voice, we can hear him through situations and circumstances. Sometimes, in fact, very often, we all live with our face so close to our circumstances, we don't step back enough to see the big picture. And we don't step back and ask the question, Lord, what are you saying through this? What are you wanting to do through this? And if you've prayed and submitted your life and your circumstances to him, you need to believe then God's at work. I've prayed, I've asked him to work, I've yielded myself and, you know, asked him to be Lord in this. So then we need to believe, don't we? God, you're at work then. God works all things together for our good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And he will open the right doors. The problem is, at times, the Lord opens a door over here, but it's not the door we want. And so we ignore that, and we keep on knocking and trying to open the door over here that is firmly closed. It's even locked. It's like a flaming, rotating torch in front of it, but we kind of keep going, trying to open that door. And we can knock on that door for years. The door's wide open over here, but we don't want that one. We just keep going on this one. And we shout scriptures at it. We might even fast about it if we're really desperate. But we refuse to step back and ask the question, Lord, what are you saying? What are you wanting to do then? And maybe, just maybe, the Lord doesn't want to open that door. You think you know what's through that door, but you don't. He can see ahead. He's the God of past, present, future. He can see behind every door. So if he's saying you don't want to go through that door, then you don't want to go through that door. You know, whether that's a relationship, a job, a business opportunity, whatever things that we can push for. I'm not talking about holding on to promises in prayer, because of course that's important. The Lord tells us men always ought to pray and not give up, you know, with promises. I'm talking about pushing hard to make something happen through your own efforts. You understand the difference, don't you? God is able to do what he wants when he wants, isn't he? You know the scripture in Revelation, he says to the faithful church, notice it's the faithful church, what I open, no man can shut, and what I shut, no man can open. So if you're the faithful, you are submitted to him, he'll open doors no man can close, and he will close doors that no man can open. And I love that. It's safety for us, isn't it? So in that case, if you're kind of pulling on a door and banging on a door that isn't opening, you just need to go back and say, Lord, okay, what are you saying through this situation? What are you saying through these circumstances? I yield myself to you again. Not my will, your will be done. He's the good shepherd. Remember from the beginning, he shepherds us if we listen and follow. He knows where the green grass is for us, doesn't he? He knows how to restore our soul. He wants to lead us on a path of righteousness for his name's sake. And on that path, his goodness and mercy is. On God's path, good things are on it. He knows what's best for us if we listen and follow. Right, I'm going to finish off just quite quickly with three characteristics of God's voice. Now, you'll probably know these anyway, but the three characteristics of God's voice I really want to home in on, three ways, really, we recognize his voice, are righteousness, joy, and peace. God is the king of his kingdom, and where he is, where he's at work, there's righteousness, joy, and peace. They're like telltale signs, this is God. You know, or telltale signs, I'm hearing God. Hallmarks, if you like, that God's at work and God's speaking. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. So whatever God speaks is going to lead us into righteousness, not away from it. He's never going to lead us into anything shady or underhand. He's never going to lead us into anything illegal. You know, like, I've blessed you with that fast car. You put your foot down and go at 90 miles an hour if you want to. That's not the voice of God, okay? He leads us on a safe path of righteousness for his name's sake. Whatever he speaks brings joy. Have you noticed that? When God speaks, it kind of gives you a bit of a lift. Even when he's discipling us and disciplining us, he kind of does it in a good way. He'll say it like this, you're living wrong, but if you come my way, I'm going to bless you. You know, what you're doing is bad, but if you turn around, it's going to get good. It's like there's a lift. It brings hope, a chance of a better future. Even when he's discipling us, you're wrong, but look at what can change if you do this. So there's joy. When God speaks, he brings joy. Jeremiah, it says when Jeremiah was praying, we've got a scripture, he says, your words were found and I ate them. Your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. And that is my testimony, and I'm sure most of us in this room can say, yeah, I've experienced that. I've read the word and it's just been like, ah, the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. I think it's interesting that it says, and I ate them. Like he sat down and took time to digest. You can't live off the memory of bread, right? I'm all for memory scriptures. I think they're great, and it's great to teach children to remember scriptures. Brilliant. But, you know, there's times when you just can't live off the memory of it. In the same way you can't live off the memory of bread. You need to sit down with the word. I personally like a Bible. I know some people use the word on tablets and different things, phones, whatever. But sit with the word and eat it. Take time to let it get on the inside of you. And then it becomes the joy and the rejoicing of your heart. And you know, once that inner joy is there, external things can't shake this. External things can't steal this. God is with me. God is for me. Who can be against me? You know, his voice, the joy of the Lord is our strength. When God speaks, the joy comes back. When God speaks, the strength comes back. It's like your backbone comes back. You might have been knocking at the knees like the Israelites we heard about last Sunday, scared by your external circumstances. But then when the word of God comes in, it's like you get your backbone back. You stand tall, strong. God's with me. God's for me. Okay? Like Joshua, he makes us strong and very courageous, even in the face of intimidating things. Finally, peace. I have to say, one of the greatest effects of hearing God's voice is the peace returns. Double-mindedness is exhausting, isn't it? Shall I, shan't I? Is it this way? Is it that way? Do I do this? Do I do that? Oh, double-mindedness. And that inner turmoil stops. When you hear God speak, you know, in Psalm 23, green pastures, still waters, it's that. Peace returns. You were on the white water and you come into the still waters. You just know God's spoken, my peace is back. You might not understand everything and how everything, in fact, most times we don't understand how everything's going to work out. We just know God's spoken, I've got peace. And I just need to keep listening and following. Your circumstances may continue to be stormy externally. And, you know, I've known a lot of people who will make wrong decisions just to get a bit of external peace. For example, they give into their flesh. I've done it, you've done it, just to get some external peace. Giving, and this is almost worse, giving into other people's flesh, their demands and manipulation, just to get a bit of external peace. But you know, we're fools if we do that, because it's very short-lived. When we give in to other people's kind of emotional blackmail and manipulation, it may bring temporary peace, but it soon moves, because what happens is they move the goalposts. And actually, it's like you give that much, but they demand more. You know, there's always a demand for more, isn't there? There's a proverb, I can't remember where it is, but it says, the leech has two daughters, give and give. You know that one? It's flesh. Flesh. All the fruit of flesh is give and give, take and take. It always wants more. It's never enough. So whatever you give up, normally, look, if you know to kind of get some external peace, you're compromising what you know is right and what you know is God. Do not do it. There should be a warning bell right there. Don't do it. Obey God. Submit to him and trust him with the consequences. Look, if you remember nothing else from this message, remember that. Obey God. Trust him with the consequences. God is able to sort out the details for us. Finally, you know, I've written down here, all hell can be breaking out around you, but if we listen and follow him, we can trust him with the consequences. And when the storms come, which they do, we can be like Jesus in the boat. You know, Mark 4, we're going to read it today in our Bible reading plan. Jesus was asleep in the boat, it says, with his head on a pillow. I like that little detail. He was asleep in the boat with his head on the pillow. In other words, in a storm, he had internal peace. Externally, it wasn't looking good. It was scary. All the rest of the disciples are screaming. He's at peace. That's how we can be. When we're submitted to God, all hell breaking out around us, internally, God's in control. I'm at peace. Also, when we're submitted to God, we then have authority to speak to that storm, like Jesus did. You know, we bind the enemy and we loose external peace. So we get it on the inside, we can have it on the outside as well. He doesn't want us to live in storms, but sometimes we go through them, don't we? Even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Knowledge and confidence, God is with us, that's our internal peace. Submission to him, we have authority to speak peace and loose it externally.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.